Well, this hour, we're going to take your phone calls with David Wilcock. A little surprise for him a little bit later on this hour as well. I guess it'll be a surprise for you, too. So we'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie. We've got David Wilcock this hour, your phone calls as well. David, we talked a little bit last time you were with us about Planet X. Since then, it's come up several times. Your thoughts on that again before we go to calls.
Sure. This is the most common hypothesis that people put out there for why there are these changes going on in the solar system. Now, it does appear from Zechariah Sitchin's read of what's going on that there is a Planet X, per se. His interpretation of the scripture from the Sumerians is that it's actually crossing into our orbits.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I've been trying to tell people for a long, long time is that the sun itself actually is vibrating up and down on the surface a little bit. And this is creating waves, which are actually creating harmonic cavities that the planets can orbit in. And they can't pop out of those cavities. And those cavities will naturally rearrange any planet that is running around into one of the slots. So some asteroids can go through, but it's because they don't have enough mass to get captured by this right away. But a full-sized planet is very quickly going to get captured into these concentric circular waves, so to speak. So that's one of many reasons why it's not a valid hypothesis. Again, I would also point you towards the cycles of evolution, 26 million years as determined by David Rope and James Sepkoski, these University of Chicago paleontologists. Dr. Robert Rode found the more recent one 62 million years. It goes all the way back to the dawn of life on Earth 542 million years ago, very consistent. So these are galactic changes, and we can show that there's a much higher concentration of energy in the galaxy. Again, I have a Sunday workshop at Conscious Life Expo and a Monday workshop. I'm going to be going into all the proof.
Man, you're working overtime, David.
Yeah, just like you. I mean, we're both getting run around on this one, but it's great fun. So
let's go to the calls. You ready?
Let's do it.
First-time caller, Layla, in Westchester, New York. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there, Layla.
Hi, George. Hi, David.
Hello, Layla.
I was trying to follow originally your story about the experiments and the lasers as far as the DNA.
Okay.
I'm pretty much into the radio frequency called lasers and light resonant therapy.
Sure.
Is it possible that you can lay out, like, more information? What kind of technology are we talking about? And
that's a good question. There are a variety of technologies that actually will do this. Now, one of the things that I did not say, which comes up a lot in the data, is it appears that the energy frequencies that are actually transmitting into DNA to either heal DNA or to destroy DNA, because, you know, Dr. Kuznachev, another Russian scientist, proved that you can beam sickness into cells as well. That all happens on the infrared frequency. In fact, when we go back to Berlikov and that fish egg experiment I was talking about, you remember that?
Yeah.
Where the stronger fish eggs leech off energy from the weaker ones and the weaker ones die?
Die off, yeah.
If you put a screen so that they can still see each other but that infrared light can't pass through, then the effect stops.
That's interesting.
So infrared light is where this energy wave is the closest to our physical reality. It doesn't mean it's in the light as much as that it's in that frequency, and it bleeds through from a higher dimension at that point. So this does get back into a lot of other things. There's something called the Rife machine, which actually uses a form of tuned frequency to basically do the same thing with the DNA, to out-resonate the disease and resonate in health. There's a device called the SCENAR, S-C-E-N-A-R, which is commonly used in Russia. It uses electromagnetic frequency stimulation to kind of excite the torsion field and create healing. There's a lot of technologies that are out there involving LED lights that do the same thing, non-burning lasers that do the same thing. So the point is that there's this energy all around us, and it can be up to 50% responsible for the health and vitality of our body. Of course, you still need to drink water, get sunlight, all that stuff. But the point is, this energy frequency that's out there can sustain life, and that's why you have cases of, like, that guy HRM who says he's sun-gazing. Remember, have you ever done a show on that, George?
No, sun-gazing?
Yeah. People are saying that this guy is basically living off of looking at the sun.
Oh, the guy who hasn't eaten anything in a zillion years.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, yeah.
I mean, eventually, now, I don't recommend anybody try this. I certainly wouldn't. But eventually, you know, there are these non-eating saints. Paramahansa Yogananda talks about it in his book, Autobiography of a Yogi, where they can basically live off of just energy. And they don't need the typical things that the body needs because they've now transferred their sustenance completely over to the bioenergy.
And they've tested him. They've watched him. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's totally scientific. So it's a vast field of inquiry here. I can't touch on it too much because we're on the radio, but the point is look at the placebo effect. Look at if you believe that you're going to be healed, that the healing happens. Nobody's really been able to explain that. But it gets back to the idea that the conscious energy of the universe works on intent. There's a great study by Dr. René Piach, a French scientist, in which he took 15 baby chicks and put them in a room where there was a glass pane, and in the other room, through the glass pane, is a little robot that runs on a random number generator. And he binds the chicks to this robot, makes them think that the robot is their mother. And they change the way the random number generator functions so that the robot stays right in front of the window. They actually, their intent tells the intelligent energy field out there, okay, change the way this computer circuit is working so that the mother will come closer. That's the power that we all have within ourselves.
Let's go west of the Rockies, Rob, in Clovis, California. Hey, Rob, welcome to the show.
Good morning, George. Good morning, David. It's great to talk to you.
Well, thank you, Rob.
I've only got a million questions, so I'll just start off with the first one, and I'll just kind of get to them real quick because I know there's a whole bunch of other people want to talk to you. But here's my question. In the event of a polar shift, is there any place that would be safe or that you'd recommend to go to survive? That would be my main question. Now, here's the next thing I'd like you just to touch on, just a little bit of Operation Rainbow, Operation Montauk, and the Philadelphia experiment, just for a lot of people out there that don't really know what's going on. And just for one last thing, and then I'll get off the air, and that is, what they found in Iraq that either Saddam Hussein had acquired and they never really told us the truth about, but if you could just touch on a lot of that. I know I'm hitting you with a million things, but David, it's great to hear you on the radio. You're a real inspiration to all of us. And
well, if
and
I need
that,
to come
I'll
up with
go.
If I need to come up with
thank you,
full
okay,
ideas
Rob.
For a full show on Coast, I'll hire you.
Oh yeah, he's got him that
full show right there. Okay, pole shift, this is what my guidance is telling me, and some people have attacked me for this, but again, the thing that nobody seems to understand is that this is a frequency shift in which the part of reality that will experience pole shift is a part that hardly anybody on the planet will experience. We're not going to be in a physical body when that happens. We will be in another form of a physical body that will be more akin to light. And I've talked about this on the previous show, that it's like there's a Stargate effect that goes off throughout the whole planet. That's the big crescendo that all this is leading to. The galaxy programmed life to evolve on planets. Sometimes life takes a spontaneous quantum leap, just like in these evolutionary periods I talked about where all these crabs suddenly turn into much more evolved forms of life. The galaxy, we already have the evidence, man. It's already there. You look at the past, these 26 and 62 million year cycles, and you actually see this happening. Okay, Rainbow Project, Montauk, we did a whole show on that before. This is the idea that you can take the seed out of a UFO, crashed UFO, hook it up to a power supply, and put somebody in the chair that came out of the UFO, and it will then harmonize their consciousness in such a way that you can get much more elaborate things to work than you would with your normal psychic ability, including creating wormholes that will travel you both through space and time. It's highly controversial material, and I did want to try to steer back into some science stuff this time. Third and final question is the looking glass device he's referring to in Iraq. It does appear from multiple whistleblower testimony that there is a device which is reverse engineered from the pineal gland in the brain. You can Google 2012 Enigma, which is my movie online. It's all over the place. There's like 432 copies of it on the net. And this movie describes the pineal gland being organ which actually creates an electromagnetic shield around some very special structured water inside. And by shielding off the water, it opens that water to become a portal into time. There is a domain where these torsion fields come from in which time is three-dimensional. And over there, you can look through time. So the ancients apparently, the ancient Atlanteans apparently reverse engineered the pineal gland in the brain into a workable technology, which has then been inherited through secret societies and is now a workable way of looking into the future. And this is a technology that is looked towards 2012. And after 2012, all they can see is white light. The whole thing goes dead. Because they can't see into the reality past the one we're in now. It's like the future is uncertain, but we do know from many other sources that it's going to be a very positive future.
Good job, David. Let's go to Linda in Alameda, California, on our wildcard line. Hi, Linda.
Hi, George. Hi, David. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Of course.
My question involves eclipses, and I wondered if there was a spiritual or energetic significance to lunar and solar eclipses, and whether or not there's a difference in meaning between lunar and solar eclipses.
Okay. Yes. To answer your question, there is a very big difference between lunar and solar eclipses. What you're dealing with is the fact that the torsion fields, again, this is a non-physical energy source that moves through the time domain in which time is three-dimensional. I was just talking about that.
Mm-hmm.
These waves can only be measured where they're originated and where they end up, but you can't actually see them propagate through space. Nonetheless, the stars and planets all gate in this energy. And the whole science of astrology actually boils down to the fact that there is energy that affects our consciousness, and the angular relationships between the planets then causes various configurations to affect how we think. Now, it is a fact in the black ops communities that I've been speaking with that they know that the moon and the sun were engineered so that that eclipse would be perfect. You know how there's a corona around the lunar eclipse, and you actually see, or the solar eclipse, I'm sorry, and you actually see this ring that shows up around the moon.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not an accident. That's the result of a designed moon to be perfectly in harmony with the sun. And there's all sorts of other things we could say about that. The point is that these occultations where one planet occults another, meaning that they cross over each other. Richard did some really great work on that regarding the transit of Venus as it was passing over the surface of the sun. He uses this little watch that has a tuning fork in it called an accutron. And what happens is that these torsion fields actually change the way that metal binds to itself, and it changes the frequency of the tuning fork. So when he was running his accutron and studying down to the decimal point how fast that little tuning fork is vibrating, and then Venus passed over the surface of the sun, there was a remarkable spike, which he presents in a lot of his conferences. So, again, in terms of the specific symbolic detail of the difference between a lunar eclipse and a solar eclipse, solar eclipses stir up the energy on Earth a lot more. That's why they're traditionally associated with the fall of kings. Lunar eclipses are more like a short-term stopover point for bigger events that are more akin to the solar eclipse type of thing.
And Richard is listening to every word you say, David. He's sending me messages as you speak, going, good, good, good job. To you.
I have an additional question.
Sure.
How do they affect us as individuals?
Well, that's a very broad question, but to give a simple answer, the bottom line is that consciousness can be reduced to what I would consider to be a temperature. And when I say consciousness, in this case, I'm talking more about the way that you feel emotionally inside. So I'd like to direct your attention to the idea that red would be like an increased temperature and blue would be a decreased temperature, and that when the temperature goes up, we're seeing red, we get hot under the collar, the energy on the planet is increasing, and it actually makes us feel really uncomfortable, like a room is getting really hot and sweltering. When the energy cools down, the emotional energy of everyone on the planet cools down, and it goes in more of a blue direction. We have expressions like stay cool or I've got the blues when your energy's cooling down. So the point here is that emotional energy is not so much a private thing as you might think. In fact, if you have somebody living next door to you and they're going through a lot of stress, that stress will affect you, But the thing is that we have a biasing mechanism in our brain that makes us think that every emotion or every thought that we have is privately generated. One of the things I hope to do with the movie and with the consciousness conferences I'm doing is to encourage people to think outside the box and realize that what's going on in your mind is not entirely private. But the best part is that a small group of people can meditate and actually lower the temperature of the whole planet. And so that's why you have 7,000 people meditating, and it's been scientifically proven that worldwide crime, fatalities, and terrorism decreased by 72%. So it really boils down to the fact that your emotional body is affected by this energy field and what I would consider to be the temperature of it.
Okay, next up, let's go to Edward in Santa Clara, California. Edward, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just wondering if this hologram and laser technology could help the bumblebees that are dying off.
Well, that's a very interesting thing. The bumblebee die-off is a wide subject. Again, George, that's a whole show we could do just on that.
Absolutely.
Richard and I have put together some really fascinating material on that. The bottom line there is that it seems that what's been going on with the bumblebees and the honeybees is that we are forcing them into building combs that are bigger than what their bodies are built for by basically creating a honeycomb for them that they then fill in. We've proven that their bodies will get larger in size, which means they generate more honey and we get more product. The problem is that if they are allowed to do what they naturally do, they build more of a harmonic structure. It's more of a tetrahedral-looking structure. And the cells of the honeycomb are smaller. So if we can get back to biodynamic agriculture, where we're not giving them all the pesticides and drugs, and basically trying to maximize profit by increasing their bodily size, increasing the cell size of the honeycombs, then we can actually help to stave this off. However, I will also say that it appears that another aspect of what's going on with the honeybees does indicate a hyperdimensional shift in which there is a scientist we found who studied the flight patterns of honeybees, and even more specifically, you've seen that dance that they do.
Mm-hmm.
Supposedly tells people where the other bees
tells
where,
the other bees
where to go.
Where to go? That's right.
Well, what they're actually doing, as it turns out, is that they're sketching out hyperdimensional geometry with the movement of their body, and that's been proven. You can actually show these hyperdimensional what are called manifolds in the way that they move around, and what that does is it's showing us actually that they're using the torsion field to navigate. And as the Earth is shifting into this higher frequency, the grid, the actual geometric placement of lines on the Earth's surface, which is a whole other show we could do, that grid is shifting, and therefore it's throwing them off. So some of this is unavoidable. Some of this could be definitely changed if we used a more biodynamic agriculture process for raising honeybees.
You think Richard got some of his hyperdimensional physics theories from the honeybees? And from some of the patterns of what they do?
It's possible. I would have to ask him. We hadn't had that discussion, but it is interesting when you look historically in esoteric, like occult secret societies and stuff, that the honeybee is actually a very, very powerful symbol
exactly.
of death and rebirth.
Very prevalent.
Yes.
Indeed. We'll take other calls when we come back, David, plus a little surprise for you. And
well, I'm having a great time. I'm really enjoying this show.
You're still getting people talking about your possible reincarnation of being Edgar Cayce? Does that still happen?
Well, I mean, I don't really think about it very much in my daily life because name one Elvis impersonator, you know? And I'm really trying to focus on what I'm doing now, you know? But, yeah, it is a really cool thing.
You do look like him.
That's true. And the astrology is a really close match, and it seems that in this DNA science we're talking about, that there is definitely a vibrational resonance. Nobody can knock that.
Absolutely. Stay with us. David Wilcock, our guest, will come right back. We'll take final phone calls, plus the little surprise. Well, time for our traditional shout-out and thanks for supporting Coast to Coast AM. Those of you listening to your favorite radio stations across North America, thank you so much. Streamlink members as well. XM Satellite. And then, of course, the various chat rooms and groups, the NighthawkZone.com folks, thank you for everything you've done over the years. Imaginative Worlds, Into Infinity, the National Radio Club, Sorcery IRC Group, MySpace Groups, Yahoo Chat, the Northern Kentucky Paranormal Group, and, of course, AboveTopSecret.com. Thanks, folks, for making Coast to Coast the number one rated show in the world. We're back with author, lecturer, and researcher David Wilcock. Let's go to Deborah in San Rafael, California. Hey, Deborah, welcome to the program.
Oh, my My pleasure.
Sure.
That's a pleasure. Thank you. You know, I'm a great follower of both of yours. And, David, when you were talking about transferring DNA, it's actually been done before. Genesis 30:37, Jacob, when he went to his father-in-law and said, look, I'll take all the streaked and the, you know, the spotted. And he took what they called rods, and I think about the pineal gland. He took rods of poplar and hazel and chestnut, and he streaked them like peeling a potato, placed them in the gutters where the herds would feed, and they conceived. And he eventually created all of his herds to be without blemish. Yeah, very interesting. It's in Genesis 30:37.
It's been going on for a long time, hasn't it?
Yeah, nothing new under the sun. And the honeybee, it's well known because the name means instinctive. They do instinctively what they're supposed to do.
Very good.
And one other thing, David, you had told me to contact you with a DVD of a tape recording that was on my cell phone at one time. And I've tried to get it to you, but I did not have an address.
Sure. You can go to divinecosmos.com, and then at the top of the page there is a link that says Contact Us, and you click on that, and there's my email address there as well as a P.O. box. I just went and picked up all the mail today. Had a bumper crop of mail this time. But, yeah, so you can send me that there, and I do try to at least read everything that I get. So by all means, send it along.
Okay, very good. Now we're going to take more calls with David. But first, David, I want to ask you something. Producer Tom comes running into my office a few days ago, and he says, George, you've got to listen to this. And he slaps this CD into my CD player, and he turns it on, and I start listening to this song. And he said, you like it? And I said, yeah, it's good. It's got a great tune to it. Who's singing it? And he said, well, you have to tell me that. You have to guess. And I said, come on, Tom. You know, we've had a lot of artists on the program before.
Right.
There's a lot of singers out there. And I rattled off a few names. And he said, nope, nope, nope. And this is what he played. And so he finally said, that's David Wilcock, George. And I said, come on, it isn't. And he said, it sure is. All right, tell me about this. What are you doing?
This is a very exciting project for me because the bottom line is that we have a lot of people here who did not originate on Earth, and they came here to help. They came here from a higher realm. They voluntarily gave up the knowledge of who they really are. They volunteered to be human. And they need to awaken in order to fully accomplish what they came here for, which is to help really transform this planet. It's not doom and gloom. These are the people here that are basically like a messianic initiative. A lot of them fall into singular messianic delusion. They think that it's all about them. And I get a lot of those emails. And everybody has a role to play. So I decided to do a whole musical around this. There's 25 different songs at the kind of quality that you just played. I'm working with a 9-time Grammy-winning musician named
Good
Larry Sire.
For you.
And we contracted a brilliant visionary artist named Andrew Jones. And you can go to my website, divinecosmos.com, click on the transcript of our last show. We now have the art up there. I don't know if you've seen that, George, but Andrew just blew my mind. It's so stunning. And the music is incredible. I mean, it's not like there's a bunch of filler songs. They're all different.
I didn't know you did this.
Yeah, I grew up in a musical family. My mom teaches voice and piano. My father writes about music. I met all the 80s hair metal bands and stuff. And I would say, a very talented jazz drummer. I can do all the solos and all that. And I always kind of pattern myself off of Phil Collins. He's one of my big heroes.
Oh, yeah.
And my voice sounds a little like his. And so he started out as a drummer, and then he became a lead singer, and he had no idea that it was going to take off. And I just feel really blessed. Larry contacted me. The Grammy-winning musician contacted me as a result of Coast. And 3 years ago, we did The Science of Peace, which is our premier product. And we do have that on the site, you know, so you can hear music that we've already done together, but I wasn't singing. This product is going to be out, we anticipate, as of April 15th, as sort of like an antidote to Tax Day. And I've played it for a few people, and everybody thinks it's going to be good, but nobody thinks it's going to be as good as it actually is.
Well, let me tell you, you did such a great job on this. I had an idea when I was listening to it. I told Tom to get with you and to let you executive produce a possible Coast music CD where various Coast guests, you, Richard C. Hoagland, Lionel Fanthorpe, so many others, all do one song, your own song.
Ah.
And, you know, we donate everything to charity or something. So that's a possibility.
Oh, that would be great.
Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Lorain, Ohio. Daryl, you're on Coast. I'd love to see what Hoagland would sing.
Yes, hello.
Go ahead, Daryl.
Yes, good morning, George. Glad you could take my call tonight.
Sure thing.
Got a question for David. He was talking about the hologram with the laser earlier, about shooting the healthy plant into the disease plant.
That's correct.
Is there any possible way, being that it might possibly get into, say, bad hands, that it could be used as a weapon of mass destruction?
Well, the nice thing about this is that we are dealing with a conscious energy field, and the field is biased much more in the direction of health rather than disease.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you have to understand, and I keep trying to say this over and over again, we live in a highly structured reality. All of the scary-looking stuff that's happening on the planet is not going to lead to our doom and destruction. Mm-hmm. It's meant to shatter us out of our complacency, to realize the benefit and the value of learning love, which is really what we're here for.
Mm-hmm.
And so these are the things that kind of stir us up. You know, the universe is not just all about smiles and happiness. The universe will initiate you, and those initiations can be very jarring. So insofar as if someone had a technology that could, like, beam some sort of disease to you, the bottom line is that unless you had already invited that into your life for whatever higher purpose it would serve for you,
mm-hmm.
it won't have an effect. And the other thing that's really important is that if you are working through those kind of challenges,
mm-hmm.
the most important healing, if you go back to the Casey readings, is a spiritual healing. And you start with healing the emotional body, forgiving the people that hurt you in the past, really letting go of all the wounding and the pain. And then your body will magically start to get better. It really does work.
Okay, Daryl, thanks. Next up, let's go to David in Delaware, east of the Rockies. David, go ahead.
Hi, George. Hi, David. My question is about the all this new technology that you've been talking about
mm-hmm.
and what it would take to get it released here in, you know, North America. I mean, do you think that it would take, like, a revolution in conjunction with 2012, maybe another civil war, to kind of break up the monopolies that the big conglomerate HMOs have over the government?
Well, to imply that that you're going to get love out of violence is kind of an oxymoron. But if you look back to Gandhi, you see peaceful non-cooperation. Now let's look, for example, at Coast and the fact that more and more mainstream media is giving itself over to shows like this. The internet is swamping newspapers and television. And, you know, so there's this whole movement in favor of open source, in favor of, like, the free exchange of ideas and information. And I think that all we really need is to spread awareness. That's the bottom line. When the awareness is out there in the public, these technologies are very easy. We didn't get into it in this show, but the Russians have built these pyramids that are 144 feet tall and a very steep angle. They're like almost obelisks. And you can put diseased cell cultures in there, and it magically gets rid of the disease. So there's very cheap and very easy ways to harness torsion fields. Again, all you have to do really is just harness the positive attitude, and from that will flow health and vitality and abundance.
Okay, very good. West of the Rockies, Cameron in Seattle, you're up with us. Hi, Cameron.
It's an honor to be with you guys.
Sure
it's a miracle.
back to what that guy was saying, Thomas Jefferson talked about he'd rather have a free press than a standing army, and I agree with that as far as nonviolence.
Sure.
And changing things for the better. I'm an investigator here in Seattle, and I've been investigating for the past 3 years four avatars, and they show up in Revelations. They're the four horsemen of the apocalypse, and
I'm not sure what you mean by avatars, though. Are you talking about, like, people on MySpace with a picture? Or?
No, I'm talking
about people that complete a life cycle.
I mean, I was being facetious, but I wanted to get into more detail, so, okay.
I'm really...
almost like a divine creation, basically.
I'm serious about the subject, so, but I'm a very funny person.
Okay.
So I just wanted to finish my sentence. So my theory is that the four horsemen of the apocalypse have manifested into... the form, and they are architects living in Seattle, Washington, and I used to work for them. And it's not a bad thing. Like you guys said, you got to think about the positive, but if people want to investigate it more, it's oscaarchitects.com.
Well, we certainly don't want to be accused of slander or libel here. I respect your opinion, and it is true that we are seeing archetypes playing themselves out in the human consciousness. We're seeing people assuming archetypal personages as we get closer and closer to this massive convergence event. And as Richard loves to say so often, the good are getting better and the bad are getting worse. There's more and more of a discrepancy between people who are on the path and people who are off the path.
And we're right in the middle of all of it right now.
Yes. David.
Right in the middle of it. Where are you going to be December 21st, 2012?
Probably sitting in the backyard with a carpet waiting for it to start rising.
with a phone hooked into Coast to Coast, because we've got a Friday night program.
And we'll have a blood pressure monitor and pulse monitor and figure out if, like, if I suddenly turn into light being, will I still have a heartbeat.
First time caller, Michael in Knoxville, Tennessee. You're up with David Wilcock. Hi there, Michael.
I'm doing great. This is awesome. I'm enjoying the conversation you guys are having right now. I love you, David Wilcock. Been keeping up with you for a long time. Thank you, George, for the opportunity. I just wanted to start off by talking a little bit about the vibration of the Earth as it's rising. I think it's been rising for a lot longer than we've been looking at it, at a micro level. And it's, back in the 20s even, and that's why a lot of the world wars and stuff were going on. They were trying to...
I completely agree.
And, I see that it's been going on, and as we're getting closer, my dreams have been getting more and more rapid. I have a lot of dreams, kind of like you do, but they're more rapid and really erratic, and it's hard for me. I don't write them down either, and that's something I should do, but I don't do it, but I memorize a lot of them. But they're getting wilder. But going back towards, the conversation, I wanted to talk to you about the DNA structure that you were talking about earlier. The 64 tech, as we look at it, the nucleic acids, if they don't move and the other particles do move, like you were saying something about particles moving, and it just kind of came to me in my pineal gland, if they move, those are the ones that probably will give us levitation and things of that nature or extraordinary abilities. I'm not saying that we'll be levitation or anything, but I look at it on that level. Do you see it kind of like that?
Well, I think that insofar as the DNA molecule is a conduit, an antenna for hyperdimensional energy, that these DNA shifts do seem to lead to what we would call ascended abilities. In other words, the more that you look at ancient mystics and gurus and people who have really developed themselves through years of dedicated meditation, they do end up having some really phenomenal abilities. And I think, again, just like you could become a not-eating saint and not have to use food anymore and live off the energy, the more that you understand that everything around you is yourself, that there is no partition between self and other, whether that other is a person or whether it's the chair that you're sitting in right now, then, as it said in The Matrix, it's not you that moves, it's the universe around you, basically. You are the universe, and by directing your intent, the motion will happen. It does seem that post-2012, that these abilities will come much more naturally to us, and that's very exciting.
David, I take it you believe in a divine creator, some
type. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that what we're really looking at here, George, is a universe in which we're being guided. The synchronicities and all the people that come into our lives and all the love that we've given is love that comes back to us many times over. We're in a structured reality. We think that it's real, but yet we can see that there's a law of karma. If you do bad things happen to you. And all of this is leading to a very positive outcome for everyone, in which we will experience abilities such as telekinesis, time travel, all sorts of things that right now would seem to be miraculous, but yet we're seeing them in more and more movies. It's like we're all being prepared for this.
It does seem that way, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I really have a positive view of it because, as the caller was just saying here, this is something that's been building up. We've seen society completely change with all the advance of technology, and we're building up to something. It's not over by any means.
Let's go to Warren in Indian River, Michigan. It isn't over. Warren, we'll take your call.
Hi. Thank you, David, for being on the show. I think that you and I have a lot in common. I am into heavy metal or the hair bands, but I was trained in jazz on the guitar and in the saxophone.
Very good.
With Dizzy Gillespie,
whoa,
Buddy Rich, and even Count Basie.
The classics.
Twice.
Yeah.
Wow, that's excellent.
But anyway, I'm really interested in the things that you have to say about the pineal gland and how important that is, especially the aspect of having the retina type cells in that pineal gland. And also we look almost identical. And I read almost every single Edgar Casey book when I was young, and I read all of the books about telekinesis, life after life, life after death,
right,
and all these other things. But what I wanted to ask you is something that has not come up on any person that's talking about 2012.
All right, go for it, Warren. I only have a minute left.
It's an election year. It's a U.S. presidential election year.
That's absolutely correct.
What do you think about that?
Well, I think that we're very fortunate that Obama's the president, because the last 4 years before we have this thing happen, it would be really nice if we had a disclosure, and the people can actually help to change that process. Best thing to do is actually to send faxes. That's what I learned from Dr. Greer. You can fax your senators and congressmen, let them know that you're tired of the UFO cover-up, you want to know the truth, you're ready for the truth, and it's got to come out in the open, because this administration, as Richard has been saying, allows us to write our own ticket.
Well, let's see, okay? Let's see, David.
Absolutely, and all of us here on Coast and the guests and you, George, and everybody, this would be a great boon for us if we had some disclosure.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, this is a time for some monumental things to change on this planet, and we'll see what happens. I don't think a stimulus bill is the right way to do it to start, but hey, we'll see. David, my friend, I will see you next weekend at the Conscious Life Expo in L.A.
I'm looking forward to it, and I hope everybody will show up, because this is going to be a hit-it-out-of-the-park kind of PowerPoint with over 300 slides, and it's just going to blow your mind.
Well, if you're as good as you've been in past lectures, this will be a home run. I'll be back in a moment with Open Lines right here on Coast to Coast AM.